This is MSI, Minnesota Sports Insider Podcast. Hello, this is the Minnesota Sports Insider Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about a couple things regarding the Vikings, and pretty much only the Vikings today throughout this entire podcast. It's only going to be me today. This is Brandon. Brent will not be joining us. He will be on the next podcast on Monday, hopefully, with our NBA prospect podcast that fit kind of the Timberwolves and all that. But today we're going to do a lot of stuff with the Vikings. So, again, thank you for the people that have watched in the past couple of podcasts. Appreciate the support. It's really awesome. If you could, give it a share. Anything helps like that. But we're going to be going over a couple of things with the Vikings today. The trajectory of the NFC North playoffs. Stephon Diggs on Kirk Cousins, which was said pretty recently off a Buffalo media site. The three or four worst contracts in the Vikings. We'll go over that for a couple minutes, see how that looks for the Vikings, and then hopefully we'll have time for Spielman and Zimmer's outlook. And finally, at the end, we will take some questions from Twitter. I had a couple friends that have been supporting the podcast, but also some other people for some questions, okay? So hopefully we get all into that. So with all that being said, let's get started on the Vikings today. So the trajectory of the NFC North in 2020, what do we already know? We know that Green Bay was the division champion. We know that the Vikings were a wild card team, and we know that Detroit and the Bears did not have a very successful season on many platforms. Now, I'm going to try to give you the best idea of some players that each team have added, and some players that they've lost, and, you know, some brief just my thoughts of their players and their team and their direction. So we're going to start with the Green Bay Packers to lead it off in the NFC North. Green Bay went 13-3, and they got a couple people that they added in free agency. They also, you know, as everyone knows, last offseason free agency was the Green Bay's defense big splash. Interesting enough, Mike Penn being the first year coordinator for defense for the Packers, you know, coming from a 3-4 style defense, he's also coached defensively, you know, for Cleveland. So they got a lot of Preston Smith is a big 3-4 type player that, you know, works out in that scheme. And they got all their big defensive pieces last free agency. Now, this free agency looks a little bit different. They have a little bit less money to spend. So here are a couple players that they've added. They have added Christian Kirksey. They've added Rick Wagner, and they've added Devin Funchess. So we're going to start with Christian Kirksey. He's a linebacker. He played with the Browns. He had a pretty good contract, 2 years for $13 million. It's to me, that's a pretty good value contract for the Green Bay Packers. But a lot of people have been kind of, what are we doing here? When I've gone over to the Packers fan base and listened to some of their podcasts and their radio and their articles. So I went a little bit of a deep dive in terms of analytics, and Christian Kirksey is a linebacker over in Cleveland. Last year, he had a 48 Pro Football Focus grade, which actually was 10th from last out of all linebackers for Pro Football Focus grades. Now, that might not be a fair estimate of who he is because over the last game, 2 years, he's only played 9 games. So he's not been much in the lineup as of recently. And the reason why he gets this contract is pretty much for the years of 2016 and 2017, he combined for 300 total tackles that year, or between those 2 years. He also had a total of 200 solo tackles, pretty much, between those 2 years. So he was an absolutely tackling machine. He was top 10 in solo and combined tackles that year. In 2017, he had 148 combined tackles, which was 7th in the entire National Football League. So that being said, he also had a Pro Football Focus rating that year of 81. So a completely different player. It's almost flip-flopping his grade from this last year. So who is Christian Kirksey? I think he's a guy who can fly, who can get tackles. He is a tackling machine. He's 6'2". He's only 27 years old. He is pretty young. Maybe not in the football world young, but he definitely has a couple years. And that 2-year contract for $13 million for Christian Kirksey is pretty good for the Green Bay Packers for value. Now, to counter that, they did lose Blake Martinez this offseason. Now, for those of you that don't know who Blake Martinez is, he is one of the best tackling linebackers in the NFC. He has averaged over 140 combined tackles every single season since 2017 with the Packers. So that's a big loss. He was their captain on defense last year. He also has been leading their team in solo tackles, combined tackles, and he was their third best Pro Football Focus rank amongst all defenders on their team last year. So that is a big loss for the Packers. Another player that they got was Rick Wagner. So those of you that are familiar with that name, he also played for the Detroit Lions. He signed a 2-year contract for $11 million with the Packers a few weeks back. He scored a 59 Pro Football Focus grade. He ranked 37th amongst all right tackles in the NFL last year. So it's not very great. It's not even starting quality quite. He is 31 years old. He struggled at times. I think that kind of all those signs do point to a rational decision by why Detroit let him go. I think Green Bay's idea here was, hey, we got to replace Brian Bulaga at right tackle. Brian Bulaga ends up leaving this offseason. He's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler. So that'll be a tough fix for the Packers. That, in my opinion, is a downgrade. You're essentially exchanging the same player in regards to years. They're both 31, Wagner and Bulaga, but they are definitely going to be missing a key part to their right side this year, especially if Danielle Hunter's matching up on that side. So we'll see. Rick Wagner's had some ankle injuries over the years, so he definitely is a help at times in the running game, which they are a play-action team, but Bulaga will help a lot for teams in the passing game, so we'll see how that affects Rodgers again. The last two guys that they acquired were Devin Funchess and Mercedes Lewis. Both have not had a lot of production the last few years. Mercedes Lewis struggling to stay healthy at times, and Devin Funchess has really struggled to stay on the field across multiple parts of his career. Funchess, a big guy, being 6'4", has a 6'9" wingspan, can get up pretty high. He's not going to get a lot of separation early in the routes, and he's not going to be necessarily a deep ball threat, but he can be a sideline threat on play action. He can be an option in the middle of the field for a check down, and he also can be a red zone threat as well because they lost Jimmy Graham in the offseason. Of course, they signed Mercedes Lewis to hopefully fill that hole, but I don't even know if there really was a hole to fill because Jimmy Graham has pretty much done nothing over the last 3 years now for Seattle and the Packers. So I'm not sure what to say there. I do think that they missed out on a chance to get Robbie Anderson. I do think they missed out on a chance to get a few other receivers that I thought would have fit really well with Aaron Rodgers, but I guess that did not happen. Some of their other losses, they lost Kyler Fackrell, who now plays for the New York Giants. He's an outside linebacker, and they also lost B.J. Goodson, who's an inside linebacker from Cleveland. Fackrell actually has had almost 160 tackles over the last 2 years, scored a 65 overall on Pro Football Focus, which actually is pretty much an average score, essentially. And B.J. Goodson was below average in many, very raw. So I think overall that Green Bay's offseason is very disappointing from the offensive side. I think they need to add another weapon for receivers. They didn't, have not yet. They haven't addressed it. Maybe they'll do so in the draft. And the other area I think they that kind of happened with the Packers is their defense. I think their linebacking core, I know people really like Kirksey, and he's just been kind of injured. But let's say he even stays healthy this year. I think losing Blake Martinez, knowing the system, now getting Kirksey up to speed, you know, and getting all those things working and flowing in the right direction, that's a big ask. I think this offseason for the Green Bay Packers is, I don't like giving grades A, B, C, D. It's just subjective. But I will say I don't think it was great. And what I mean by that is it definitely doesn't make them a better team as of right now. Now, there's still lots of things to happen. The Packers and the Vikings, interesting enough, both hold some of the most draft picks currently in this year's draft. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how things work out, we'll see. Let's move on to the Detroit Lions. A couple things with the Detroit Lions with their roster for additions that they've received in the last few weeks. Is linebacker Jamie Collins. And now he's getting a little older. He can still do a lot of things. He can also be up on the line of scrimmage, can affect the game. He's a fit, and he's also played for the Patriots under Matt Patricia with the, you know, over there. So they have that relationship. They got offensive lineman Vitae. He's played for the Eagles. He actually played on that Super Bowl team. You can play him at multiple positions. He's not great, according to a lot of his stats on deeper analytical sites. He's okay. He's literally serviceable. So the definition of a solid backup, what a backup should be, is pretty much Vitae. I don't think he's a great starter, but he'll be okay. If they have to use him in that role, I kind of get the sense that he's going to fill Rick Wagner's spot on the right side of the offensive line. They acquired Desmond Trufant, or played many years for the Falcons. Was at during a point when he was in his prime a number one cornerback. He's still pretty good. I would say he's a pretty solid number two. At times, some stat models really don't like him, but I do think that Desmond Trufant's a pretty good number two. Now, that does not mean they'd replace Darius Slay at any point with that signing, because it just didn't. Because Darius Slay is in the middle of his prime and one of the best cover corners, one-on-one press guys in the league, and they lost that. So that's tough. They also signed quarterback Chase Daniel. If you remember, he played for the Bears, played a couple games last year. Also looked kind of better than Mitch Trubisky, just saying. Nick Williams, defensive tackle. He scored pretty average on all levels, too. Danny Shelton played at the Jets, a couple other teams, the Browns and such. He's another defensive tackle. And they also, I kind of forgot about this. They snagged Jaron Curse. I wonder how they use him. He's a big player. I wonder if they use him in the safety form instead of, sometimes we use him as corner. Or I kind of wonder if they ask him to play linebacker. He's just got a lot of avenues to possibly go down. They acquired Duron Harmon, trade with the New England Patriots. He's a safety. You can also use him as a cornerback. So that's They have a lot of additions you're looking at. 8 of their 10 additions were all on the defensive side. I do think that's a big need for the Lions, and I do think that they address some of those needs. I think Jamie Collins is definitely replacement level. He's okay. Desmond Trufant won't hurt you, but you need a number one, so that's a downgrade. And then Nick Williams and Danny Shelton are very, very solid depth pieces to the interior part of their D-line. We'll see what happens to Jayron Kearse, and we'll see the fit with Daron Harmon. But overall, a pretty solid free agency for the Lions. Again, no big signings. They lost their star, Darius Slay. Probably overall slightly of a loss, but they did try to address that through trades and through free agency. They also lost Graham Glasgow, one of their guards from Denver, or now plays for Denver. And they lost the offensive tackle, A'shaun Robinson, who, as you know, now plays for the Rams. He had a pretty solid year. He started last year for the Lions. And they lost quarterback Jeff Driscoll. He was a backup quarterback. J.D. McKissick, he was a backup running back. Overall, I think the Detroit Lions, you know, I think that they're still at best going to be a 500 team. I just don't think they have the pieces right now. And I'm kind of interested to see how Matt Patricia's. I think if there's one name in the NFL, the NFC, that could be on the hot seat for coaches, I think Matt Patricia's one. And it'll be fun to see how that changes throughout the year. They have a very tough competition in the NFC, and they have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL. So we're going to move on to the Chicago Bears. They were 8-8 last year. A couple of people they acquired or got in free agency was Robert Quinn. He's a defensive end. He also had over 10 sacks with the Cowboys last year. Fun fact. Nick Foles, now everyone knows he's going to be competing against Trubisky for the starting quarterback job. Jimmy Graham has not done anything for 2 or 3 years. Tight end Demetrius Harris. Deion Bush. Now, Deion Bush has scored a 70 or overall on Pro Football Focus multiple years. He's not always been a starting safety, but he has shown that he can definitely hold his own. He's not going to be in the top 10 in any safety analytical charts, but he is pretty solid. They also signed cornerback Artie Burns. Outside linebacker Barkevious Mingo. Mingo was originally from LSU. He's been a backup pretty much his entire NFL career. And linebacker Danny Trevathan. He's played with them before, and he's getting older, but definitely understands the system. I think they like the fit with Trevathan. Some of the losses they had, Nick Kwiatkowski, that seems to me like that was a guy that wasn't a very, very good inside linebacker, but I thought he was okay in the stints I saw him a couple times. Now he's over playing with the Raiders. Outside linebacker Leonard Floyd, they lost him to the Rams. Oh, I don't really know if that's, I don't know, the best contract for the Rams. I really don't know what the Rams are doing. That's on a side note. Like, I'm not sure what they're really doing. They lost Cornelius Lucas to Washington. Clint Dix went over to Dallas. To be honest, after losing Adrian Amos to the Packers in free agency last offseason, I really thought that Clint Dix, it would be a nice chance for him to get a real chance, a fresh start. And I guess that idea didn't go so well. I know he had some issues with the coaches when over the course of the year last year. So I'm not sure if that played a role with it, but he did struggle at times in coverage. He also has a lot of bright moments as well. One of the last guys they lost was Kevin Pierre Lewis, and he went to Washington. It'll be interesting to see how Khalil Mack's fit with Robert Quinn will be going forward. They both have had multiple double-digit sack seasons in consecutive years. It'll be fun for Bears fans to see that. And it'll be interesting to see the quarterback dynamic play out. I think a lot of people want and think Foles will end up being the quarterback, I would assume at the beginning of the year. But their record was 8-8 last year. I'm struggling to put them over anything over 9 wins. Their defense can get them there. But again, the weapons and offense, I just don't know if it's deep enough, even with any kind of magical system by Matt Nagy. And I think he's a tremendous offensive play caller. I thought he, for what he's worked with Trubisky and everything he could have done with Trubisky. But I guess we'll see. Foles and Mitchell fight for that going forward. Now, we're going to head into a break, and we're going to come back with news on Diggs and the worst Vikings contract after a word from our sponsors. Summer's almost here, and a lot of us are trying to figure out ways to stay busy during the summer. Pelican Rapids Kayaks are an easy way for a friend or a family member to experience an adventure together, or maybe even a workout. Regardless, being out in the water is an easy way to stay in shape and get outdoors. You can choose from a variety of styles for the gear that best fits you. Find us on PelicanRapidsKayaks.com or at your local outdoor sports stores. All right, now we're back and we're going to talk about Stephon Diggs and the comment he made recently in the last few days to the Buffalo media on Kirk Cousins. I thought it was pretty interesting because there was so much speculation, and I won't spend too much time on this topic, but just a couple minutes, but there was so much speculation when Diggs first had all this negative stuff being tweeted out with the shenanigans and the side guys on the sidelines. And some people see it as motivation. I do. And being a good teammate, I actually do. And some people thought it was a sideshow, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not going to get into that, but a lot of people thought he had issues with Kirk Cousins. A lot of people thought because he wasn't throwing it his way. He was looking him off. He was giving up on the play too early. He was not good enough from a lot of fans who have said that. And I just thought, it needs to be said and stated consistently that Stephon Diggs has never had a problem with Kirk Cousins. In fact, Kirk Cousins has been an extremely good teammate amongst many people's opinions on the team. People that are currently on the team and then people that are currently not on our team anymore. And it's pretty evident that Kirk Cousins is a good dude. And not only that, he really works to be a leader in the clubhouse. Just listening to Stephon Diggs' comments today. And when he was asked, I'm not going to say there's nothing bad to say about Kirk Cousins. He was a great teammate. He took extra time out of his schedule to work with the receiver room. And time again, when there were mistakes, he was trying to correct them and ask questions. And that's being a leader. And Diggs made that very, very clear. So I kind of wanted to just go on my soapbox and briefly just say that Kirk Cousins is not the reason why any talented player is leaving. Kirk Cousins is an extremely, extremely good player and can help the Vikings going forward. I don't want to bet on another quarterback right now because I don't see another quarterback that can come close to Kirk Cousins' potential, or not even potential, his current status, which is good, which is pretty much, in my opinion, 7th to 10th in the top 10 quarterback ranks. We're not going to get into that. We can have that argument. We can talk about and debate that. I'll do that with Brent another day. But I just wanted to talk about that real quick. We're going to transition to the worst contracts on the Vikings. Okay? Things that are kind of hurting the Vikings with the salary cap and also maybe not so much on the field. I'm going to go through a couple names. I'm going to start off with Riley Reiff. We talked about this kind of before. $13 million cap hit this year. If we cut him, we essentially can open up $6 or $7 million upon dead money that opens up in the cap space for us. So no, you just cut him. This is not the NBA. This is the guaranteed contract. This is not some sports league where you cut and it's as simple as you get all the money back that you cut him for. No, it's there. That's how contracts work when they make when they're. That's why we have they have agents and there are GMs to do all these stipulations inside of the contract. So they said, okay, we'll give you this amount of money. It's going to be a good amount, but the last year we can cut you and we can save half the million. You still retain half your pay, but you aren't paid in full. So basically, Reef would be getting paid half. And we'd have to find something to fill in, whether it be in the draft, whether it be via trade. Riley Reiff's been a left tackle for us for a few years now. Obviously, came from the Detroit Lions. Pretty solid over there. He actually ranked, had a 70 overall on Pro Football Focus. Did pretty well. Wasn't great with high caliber DNs. You could see it a lot of times against Bosa. Against Preston Smith, against Khalil Mack when they switched, even against Leonard Floyd when he played there at times. There was a couple times when you saw Riley Reiff overmatch, and I thought not only was it strength an issue, but I thought it was absolutely lateral ability with Riley Reiff. His when I watch Reiff also, I see his stab arm when he comes off the line and tries to get you right in between the numbers, right underneath the neck. It seemed like he's not making much contact. I'm not sure if that was positioning, but he's getting pushed back almost as soon as the line of scrimmage starts moving off the ball. Riley Reiff, again, he's not a great pass protecting left tackle. He's not going to be a top 10 left tackle at this point going forward. I do think that the left side of our line is the big issue. I mean, it's pretty evident and obvious. Bradbury being a rookie, he's still learning. I'm okay with the way he had his rookie year. It's a lot of things to deal with. It's not easy to be a rookie center when you're when your left guard elf line is absolutely. I think he's got to be in the doghouse and with some of the coaches, but. As a fan, he's one of the worst linemen I've seen. I guess we're going to talk more in future weeks with a college O-lineman that knows Ben Bartsch, who's going to be in the draft. And they're going to talk more in depth about O-line because I just don't know enough about O-line and the mechanics of breakdown, the biomechanics, and how everything works. So, yeah, Riley Reiff, I'd like to get rid of that money somehow. Obviously, you don't just cut him unless you have a plan to back it up. So, especially with our O-line, our zone blocking scheme, you just have to have a plan. You can't just cut Riley Reiff because he is actually okay. He isn't below average. He isn't bad. He just isn't what you need for Kirk Cousins to be, I think, elite. Let's move to Anthony Barr. I know a couple fans that I've talked to recently have thought that this is one of the worst contracts on our team. There's no ranking of players that I'm putting for worst contracts. I'm just giving you what I think are the worst contracts in the Vikings, quite simply. And Anthony Barr is definitely one of them at $12.7 million, essentially $13 million, as a linebacker outside. He is making a lot of money. And you look at the rest of his position, he's making currently out of all linebackers the 11th most out of any linebacker in the NFL. Is Anthony Barr the 11th best linebacker out of all the out of every player in the NFL? Went to the Pro Football Focus. I went to a couple reference sheets, and he's pretty much stacks up as the 25th to 30th best O-line, or sorry, 25th to 30th best outside linebacker in the entire NFL. That's not great, but it's not terrible. So again, it's overpay. I think his value really is truly 8 to 10 million at that spot, as that's what Kendrick's contract is. He's getting paid $10.5 million a year. I think Barr should... It should be down more. That's a guy that I would say, do we need him going forward? I struggle to answer that because now we have Dom Capers, and Dom Capers comes from a 3-4 influence. He's used that multiple times in his career with the Packers. A similar player that I want, you know, give relation to is Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews is a player that Dom Capers coached. He was a linebacker, but then also played in the line of scrimmage when Dom Capers came over there and essentially played with the amoeba defense, where everyone's moving around, everyone's out of position in the box at times just to confuse the quarterback and the reads and all that. So Anthony Barr, is a guy who could be, I mean, he, for the first time in his career, last year, he had 27, almost 27% of his total snaps were at the line of scrimmage on defense, which was a huge increase, over 14% increase percentage of plays that he was lined up inside the box in the line of scrimmage. So that's what that tells me is even if we were playing a 4-3 this last year, and even if we still do going forward with Zimmer and Capers, I do think that we're going to see more variance in where he is lining up. And it would make a lot of sense as the time goes forward that he, if especially because we don't have Everson Griffin, we're kind of lacking the other side opposite of Danielle Hunter, to put Anthony Barr down as a defensive end. He has good strength. He's definitely very fast if you put him at D end. I think he'd give tackles nightmares, especially if we already know he's a nightmare when he comes up the A gap. So when he comes up some of the gaps on the blitzes and the pressure packages, that's when Barr is pretty dangerous too, blowing up plays. So I just struggle with that contract. It depends how we use him. It depends how his role develops going forward. Let's move on to Kyle Rudolph making $9 million as our tight end. Now, he did just have his best year in his career. A lot of big touchdowns, that one-hand grab in the Cowboys game that sealed the deal against Dak Prescott and the big Jerry Dome. And also has that big touchdown against the Saints to win the game in overtime. So, I mean, there's a couple of things that Kyle Rudolph's done this year. He is getting older, approaching 30. He's definitely slowed down in terms of his lateral speed and such. So that's the disappointing part. What we did see more of, it was his blocking ability. We use him so much more in the zone blocking scheme. We use heavy sets with fullbacks and two tight ends. And ultimately, I think Kyle Rudolph was a big piece to Dalvin Cook's success in our running game, even with Madison and Alex Boone. That was a big part because we don't have a great offensive line, but Kyle Rudolph acted like an above average blocker according to PFF and footballreferences.com. So, Kyle Rudolph isn't that contract's not the worst thing in the world, but $9 million for a guy that, we already have Irv Smith. The argument could be that, if you're the Vikings, we need two tight ends that are really good in our scheme. But, yeah, I just don't think $9 million is a good contract with the needs we have in our team. And the last contracts that are bad, I will talk about are our safeties. Now, Harrison Smith's contract's awesome. It's like $10.5 million a year or $11 million. But Anthony Harris is making just over $11 million. And you'd be like, well, individually, both those are pretty good value contracts for how their production on the field at their respective positions for Anthony Harris and Harrison Smith. But do you really want to be paying $22 million to your safeties? Two ways to look at this. Yes, because that covers up a lot of holes in your cornerback depth. We've lost multiple cornerbacks, but I would still say, no, I don't want that $22 million cap hit because we need to address that in the O-line. I do think that Harrison Smith, kind of like Brent noted the other day, he does make other safeties better because he fills so many holes, whether it's blitzing, whether it's covering, whether it's, over playing zone. Like, he just adds so many things. So that'll be the other interesting part. I kind of think that overall you can't have that amount of money towards safeties for the Vikings right now. So we're going to move on to a last little piece before we go into a little break. Talk about Dalvin Cook today. Looking at some of the news, I came across Dalvin Cook went on the record on the NFL Network and ESPN and made his statement publicly known. And I believe it had a real purpose. I don't think it was just for show because he got invited. I think it was planned. I think his agent was complete. It's just a smart thing to do if you want to make money. And that's what these guys' jobs are to do, is to get these guys talking and representing and showing that, hey, we're accountable. I'm one of the best. And that's what he went and said. Dalvin Cook going out of his way to make it known that he is the best running back in the NFL. And that is a statement, not only to the league, but to the Vikings to say, hey, you guys need to come out and get me. I'm not going to come and settle for some contract. And I need an extension before I play in the 2020 season. I think that statement that we heard a couple days ago is a big, big reasoning for a possible holdout in the future with Dalvin Cook. And I just, we won't get into it because we can make a whole podcast about this, but Dalvin Cook, it's going to demand at least $15 million. If he thinks he's one of the best running backs, he said he is the best running back. Let's all remember the Dallas Cowboys game. Who showed up, who didn't on national TV? Dalvin Cook did. Not so much Ezekiel Elliott. And I know Dalvin Cook and his agent did not forget about that game. It was a big-time game and a big-time win for the Minnesota Vikings. That being said, Dalvin Cook is going to ask for Ezekiel Elliott money, like we talked about last podcast. $16 million essentially is what Zeke's making. He's going to make in that range. At the worst, he's making $14 million. At worst case scenario for Dalvin Cook. And just to wrap this up before we go into our break, I do not think paying Dalvin Cook $14 million or even more, it's just not worth it. I would not do it. It's going to kill you in the long run. I've gone over this multiple times. You can count countless teams of winning it all without any type of star running back. And you count countless amount of teams that have also been in pretty much cap death for years because they've been getting robbed by the running back. So that's just kind of my thoughts there about Dalvin Cook. But before we get into Spielman and Zimmer's outlook, we're going to take a quick little break. Most people use flashlights, but don't have any idea how much money they are wasting on lights. That can be bought for dollars at the auto store. Luckily, now we can try TechLight, a handheld light that's easy to store and can hold its shine for over 30 feet with clarity. The easiest way to carry the light. All right, I'm back on the Minnesota Sports Insider Podcast. We're going to talk quickly about Spielman and Zimmer's outlook. I know a lot of people have been kind of wondering about this. There's been kind of some thoughts of what's that going to look like beyond 2020. So what does this draft mean for Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer? As we know that these two, I think we all kind of have this idea that both these two have been definitely working together hand in hand on the draft. Obviously, Zimmer can't go out and scout. 80% of the scouting happens during the NFL season. Why? That's when the college season's going on. And Zimmer can't be scouting that, obviously. So he doesn't have those eyes. He doesn't have that firsthand knowledge of what players are popping up in the draft. Okay, that's not his job. But I do believe when the offseason comes and they do go through all this stuff and needs and potential holes that they need to fill, I think Zimmer has a big hand in, okay, this is what we really need. You tell me what kind of player that fits that. And then you show me and let me see what I think. I think it works like that between those two. Then they have a really good relationship. Clearly, maybe things will change if success isn't happening this year, but they do have a good relationship. And that brings us back to, what does this mean for both these two guys for the draft this year? I think it's everything, because the Minnesota Vikings have acquired Kirk Cousins a few years ago now, and they paid their money to get him. And a lot of people thought, okay, this means we're in win now mode. That was the win now window, opening. But what that also means when it's opening is that date of when it's closing is that clock has now started. And I think we're at that point where, if we don't make some big changes, a lot of our defensive players are going to age and are going to get a little slower. And that's worrisome. When I mean that, I'm saying like guys like Anthony Barr, and don't waste Eric Kendricks, and don't waste the end of Harrison Smith. And we'll see if we even have Anthony Harris. And don't waste Adam Thielen. And even the prime of Kirk Cousins' arm. You know. So this draft is everything. We know that Rick Spielman has struggled drafting offensive linemen. He did hit on Brian O'Neill. He did hit on the tight end wonder, converted into a lineman from Pittsburgh, Brian O'Neill. You know, but he's missed on a lot of guys. Phil Loadholt, that didn't go so well. So I'm just concerned. I'm concerned of what our priority is and what that means going forward for the Vikings. I just wonder if Spielman really believes at all costs we have to get an O lineman. I also hope that doesn't mean we're reaching to get an offensive lineman. I know there's been a lot of jokes put around that the cornerbacks are one that we usually draft in the first round. Since the last 5 years, we've drafted three defensive backs in the first round. So it's a common theme. I think someone put out there the other day that we've only had like three O-linemen drafted in the first round in the last 15 or so years. So we'll see what happens there. And a couple other questions that we're going to go over is quickly is, does the playoffs mean they keep their job next year? So I think the question kind of is talking about if we do make the playoffs, what does that look like for Spielman and Zimmer? Does that mean they should get an extension? I think it kind of depends on the style play that we're doing. If we're going to play in the zone blocking scheme and we're not going to be, and if we're not able to run the ball and go into play action effectively, then this whole idea that Spielman and Kubiak and Zimmer have thought of failed. And that's for a lot of reasons, for a lack of offensive linemen, for a lack of finding guys that fit, you know, maybe fit, but it, you know, you're going to have to find an offensive line. That will be the key. I think if they miss the playoffs, do I think they will be fired? I think it's a good chance. I don't think that's necessarily the right answer, because who are you going to put in place of Zimmer and Spielman? What is enough in my eyes for Spielman and Zimmer to keep their job beyond 2020? Again, it's just style. It's style play, having a common theme, and make sure that you have guys that can play that scheme well. The continuous issue with the Zimmer and Spielman era has been pretty much just drafting O-linemen and having a good O-line for their quarterback. It's pretty much that simple for me in the draft. They've always had a great defense since those two have been working together. They develop cornerbacks. They develop linebackers. They develop, when they had Andre Patterson as their defensive line coach, they develop D-linemen. So that's always been like, a thing with Spielman and Zimmer. We're always in those games. And what stands out to me is their ability to always defend and compete in any kind of game. I mean, there's always going to be those blowouts. But, I mean, we're not consistently letting 30-plus points a week, which is definitely a trademark of Spielman and Zimmer's defense now. So, a quick little look into Zimmer's, Spielman's outlook. I hope they stay together. They've done a lot of good things with the Vikings. I think they made a real culture here. Before they came here, I think we forget that we didn't have this kind of defense. Yes, we had the Pat Williams wall. We had that great 2009 team and, those couple of years. But I think also people forget that the defense we've been seeing the last 5 years of Spielman and Zimmer is pretty much been top 10 every year in almost every area. And that's important. And that can win you a championship. You just got to make sure you can get old linemen with it. So that's my only kind of gripe about that. We're going to quickly go. We got about 10 minutes left to a couple Twitter questions from the Minnesota Sports Insider. We have a question from Skyler. Are the Vikings in a win now window, or is it done? It depends how you look at it. The Vikings, I think, are absolutely in a win now window. If you're looking at the players they have, I've already said this multiple times, I won't list all the players, but you have all these players that are in win now contracts, which I think has to correlate to win now mode. You don't pay your quarterback $45 million in 2022 and backload it just so you can go 500 every year. That's you do backloading contracts so you can cap, you can create cap flexibility, and then you can create the best possible roster. So that picture I'm trying to paint for you right there is that the contracts usually should point to what is the idea of this team, what is the purpose, and we have a lot of guys that are ready to win at the end of their primes, and they're getting older, and it is a win now window, but what I think is, you know, unless you think you can really restructure that offensive line, you know, using this year to try to win now, and if that fails, what is there left? It's pretty much a complete, you're going to have to rebuild if that happens. So I just don't think we're ready to win, even go beyond a divisional game. But winning now, does that mean being a 9-win team, being a playoff team or the wild card? It's kind of subjective. But and truly being a win now, going deep in the playoffs, no, I don't. Not with this current constructed roster, I don't. And you have some serious problems replacing Elflein and Riley Reiff. O'Neal, Drew Samia, Brett Jones at right guard, and Bradbury are fine. But the left side, blind side to Kirk Cousins, has to be better. I have a question from Zach. Who is a good mid-level quarterback we could take in the mid rounds to learn behind Kirk? I want to go with Erdman, okay? Erdmann. Erdman from St. John's. Now, if you're like, what? St. John's? Yeah, there's two players from St. John's, Minnesota, a D3 university, guys, that have two pro prospects that are very likely to both be drafted. Now, Erdman's supposed to go, he's their quarterback, supposed to go anywhere from the fifth to being undrafted. Okay, I think he'll go sixth or seventh round to some team because he was absolutely dynamic. I don't even care if it's D3. If you just watch his tape, he can throw in any kind of condition, whether it's a blizzard or not. And they have another prospect in St. John's being Ben Bartsch. And he's their left tackle, 6'6", really good offensive lineman. Supposed to go mid rounds, third round through the fifth. But Erdman, so Zach Erdman. Type his name in. We can maybe steal him. He's from Minnesota. We can maybe steal him the sixth or seventh round, maybe even just undrafted. And obviously, we have the idea that Kirk's going to be our QB. At least I have the notion that he'll be our starting QB for the next 2+ years. So giving Erdman, a guy from a D3 college, very raw in terms of playing at a higher level versus higher level athletes, but his, you know, maybe needs a couple extra years to develop. I could see that. I just wouldn't want to waste a pick on a quarterback at this point with all our needs at the offensive line, the receiver, and the cornerbacks, even the defensive ends, like some of our fans have been talking about on the D-line. Like, there's just so many needs, and I would not want to use any pick inside the first 4 rounds on a QB unless some quarterback that's projected maybe to go in the second round drops. But I guess I could be more rehearsed in that area with some of the quarterbacks, but again, I wouldn't want to waste one of our third round picks on a player like that at this point, because I do think Kirk Cousins is our quarterback, and I do believe in Kirk Cousins as our QB going forward. You just have to support him. I have another question from Tanner. Do you think Mike Hughes has the potential to stay healthy and take the next step this season? I do think he has the potential. I do think when I watch his college highlights, he is one of the best man corners in the NFL. He can play slot, he can play outside, he can do anything. He's got decent size. He's not tiny, and he's just got extremely, extremely open, quick hips, you know, where he can open up, he can close, he can shuffle, he can go side. He's very quick that way. And his footwork is just so clean, according to Mike Zimmer and according to John Gray, who was their cornerback coach last year, in some comments about Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes has had a lot of injury history. He actually hurt his neck. The diagnosis was a fractured neck. So he has had some issues going on. If he can stay healthy, it's a big if with cornerbacks, especially the ones that are,
injured often and early in their careers, if he can stay on the field, I think he has the potential to take the next step next season. I think he's, even if we returned every cornerback that was on our roster prior to free agency, I literally think a healthy Mike Hughes is better than any cornerback that we would have had if we didn't lose Waynes or Rhodes or Alexander or Jayron Kearse. That's kind of what I think. And I hope he can stay on the field to make that happen. The last thing we're going to do today in the podcast for the Vikings is, like, I got some, a couple of random emails and tweets, and we have a quick little segment we're going to try out. It's called Are You On Something or Are You On To Something? So I got an anonymous tip today, say, apparently they were trying to, I'm going to give you a little short story. They were trying to essentially buy D'Lo's jersey on an online website, right? Because it's a coronavirus thing. It's tough to get out. It's tough to find things. You can't just find apparel. You know, it's especially that kind of specific apparel that's like the, you know, I hope he was trying to get the tree trim D'Lo jersey, because that's obviously the hot buy, right? And apparently he was trying to buy it from DHgate. And he's saying DHgate is not a good jersey provider. He's been waiting 2 months, and now he's being told that he won't receive it until May. So it's good to know. Anyone who's buying jerseys, do not try DHgate as a jersey provider for your Minnesota Timberwolves jersey or forever or whatever that means, any kind of jersey. Just don't use DHgate. Thank you for the anonymous tip. Is he on something or onto something? I'm going to go with he's on something, because this person is expecting so much during this times of all this virus stuff going on. I'm sure there's problems shipping. I'm guessing it's a Chinese company. There's probably a lot of holds going over there with shipping and processing. So you know what? The anonymous tip person who said DHgate and was trying to flood DHgate's economic standpoint, shame on you. You are on something, anonymous tip. Okay, last one on the segment. We have it from Noah. Who would win in a fight, Wally Szczerbiak or Michael Kadire? Well, that's very interesting. I hope I'm not missing something, that there was some weird fight that happened in early 2000s between one of the role players for the Wolves and the right fielder for the Minnesota Twins. But if I had a pick, who'd win in a fight? If I had a pick, I would probably pick Michael Kadire. I'm only going to say that because he had a cannon of a right arm. Could throw the ball probably a good 250 feet in the air, no problem. I know Wally Szczerbiak definitely has the reach. He has the length. He definitely has the wingspan. But I'm going to go with Kadire. I think he's a grinder. I think he can deliver a knockout blow with that right hand. So there you have it. It's Michael Kadire for me. Is Noah on something or onto something, that question? I think, Noah, you're absolutely on to something. That's a good question. We might need to have more of these Minnesota athletes 1v1s in the proverbial octagon. I like that idea. So maybe we'll have to do that next time. But before I leave today, I kind of want to say a couple things. The next time I see you, we're going to be with Brent, and we're going to talk about the Timberwolves and some of their prospects and some of the prospects that we are looking at for the draft, and how that fits with Towns, with D'Lo, with Beasley. Is Beasley going to be here? How's that look? Is Wancho a good fit with Towns? We're going to look at a couple of those things, and we're also going to add free agents that could fit alongside those guys, or even trade targets. Apparently today, Rudy Gobert might be in the trade market because of a conflict with Donovan Mitchell regarding the coronavirus. Is that overblown? It could be. But we'll see how that kind of rolls out in the next few days. Maybe we'll talk about it. But there are some things for the Timberwolves. If you have any questions, please email us or tweet us at Inside Minnesota Sports. We are on Twitter. Again, it's at Inside Minnesota Sports. You can tweet us, ask any questions. I'm going to answer as many questions as I can on this podcast for you. But that being said, thank you for listening to the Minnesota Vikings podcast today, and thank you for watching Minnesota Sports Insider.